A homeless man went up to a convent of nuns to ask for a handout, and a very nice sister answered the door, and he asked for a handout. She took out a $20 bill. She smiled at him, placed it carefully in his hand, and said, "Praise the Lord." Well, the next day, the homeless man came back dressed in a brand new suit, and he handed the nun $500 and said, "Sister, this is for you." The sister says, "Why is this for me?" He says, "I wanted to thank you for your advice. Praise the Lord came in at 50 to 1. Now, giving to the homeless, to the poor, is a beautiful act of charity. But what is charity? What is love? St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the greatest description of love in the history of mankind. No one has been ever able to touch St. Paul's description and definition of love, where he unfolds the splendor of charity, where he sings his hymn to charity, where he pours out his soul in the beauty of this greatest of gifts that God has given us. As you know, God is love, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. If you want to see true love, look up at the cross. Look at the crucifix, and you see that is love. Jesus is the love of the Father for us. When we read this passage of 1 Corinthians 13, we can't help but being moved every time we read it. As you know, it is the most popular readings at weddings. I'm sure you could ask the wedding ministry. Almost every couple chooses this for their reading. Hardly any couple ever chooses St. Paul's passage, "Wives, be submissive to your husbands." For some reason, that's not popular, but this one is. As you know, they say that love is blind and marriage is the great eye-opener. Now, what does St. Paul have to say about love? Well, he says you must strive after this greatest of all the spiritual gifts. And he says it is the greatest of the three theological gifts of faith, hope, and love. And he says the greatest of these is love. The reason for that is that love will last into eternity, whereas faith and hope are fulfilled in heaven and no longer are needed. As you know, when you get to heaven, you don't have to have the virtue of faith because it's replaced by sight. It's replaced by vision, the beatific vision of Almighty God. Faith is believing in something you cannot see. When you get to heaven and see God face to face, faith is replaced by sight, by the vision of God. Hope is only for this world as well. Hope is desiring something you do not yet possess. When you get to heaven and see God face to face, hope is replaced by possession, by the beatific vision. Now, in this world, we need faith to be pleasing to God, as Scripture says. We need hope, because otherwise we'll fall into despair or presumption. So the virtue of faith is necessary, the virtue of hope is necessary, but what is most important is the virtue of love, because that will last forever in eternity, and it'll come to fulfillment to see God face to face, to experience the love of God. So St. Paul describes the necessity of love, and he says it's greater than any other gift that you could imagine. He says if you have the gift of speech, if somebody can speak in human or angelic tongues, but if you don't have love, then you're basically just a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. So he says you can have the greatest preacher, the greatest speaker, but if you don't speak with love, it says we are nothing. If you have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and have all knowledge, but don't have love, we are nothing. See, somebody can be the greatest theologian and know philosophy and theology backwards and forwards, but if they don't have charity, if they don't have love, it will do them no good. St. Paul says, even if you have faith to move mountains, but if you don't have love, it says, we are nothing. This is one of the best Catholic apologetic arguments for the Catholic teaching on salvation. As you know, Martin Luther, back in the 1500s, said that one of the pillars of the Reformation was, besides sola scriptura, or scripture alone, he said it was faith alone. All you need is faith. That's not what St. Paul says. St. Paul says just the opposite. He says, if you have faith to move mountains, but have not love, it'll do you no good. So obviously, faith alone cannot save us. We need charity within our soul. The Catholic teaching on salvation is that we are saved by grace, the grace of God that operates in our life through faith, hope, and charity. And we need those virtues that working in our life through God's grace. We freely respond to God's grace and we live a life of faith, a life of hope, and a life of charity. Love of God and love of neighbor. In fact, Jesus said you could boil down all 10 commandments to the 2 great commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus even said, love one another as I have loved you. So St. Paul emphasizes the fact that faith alone will do us no good. We have to have charity, which is the greatest of these 3 theological virtues. We know the Bible even says that even the devil has faith, right? Even the devil believes that there's a God, but is the devil saved? No. He has no charity. He rejected God. He sinned. Then even Paul goes on to say, if I give away everything I own and hand over my body that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. See, even now, of course, martyrdom is the greatest act of love. Like Maximilian Kolbe, somebody that gives their life out of love of God and love of neighbor. That is the greatest act of love. But St. Paul says, if you do that and give your sacrifice yourself for, let's say, a different reason, maybe for self-accolades or self-praise, and if your motive is bad, it'll do us no good. So even giving our lives for others has to be done out of love. Love of God and love of neighbor. And then Paul concludes by describing what love is and what love is not. And I should mention that Paul could have used 4 different words for love. If you read the book by C.S. Lewis called The 4 Loves, which I would encourage you to read, in there it describes the 4 different Greek words for love. Eros, for example, romantic love. Storge is patriotism, love for one's country. Philios, brotherly love. For example, the word philanthropist, somebody who loves humanity. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. I'm from there, so I can tell you what the true name is, the city of brotherly shove, as you know. I can say that because I'm from there. But philios is brotherly love. Paul doesn't use eros, he doesn't use storge, he doesn't use philios. He uses agape, or agape, which is the Greek word for sacrificial love. This total, unconditional, sacrificial love. And that's the kind of love that husbands and wives are called to have for each other, that we're called to have for one another, this sacrificial love, this self-donating love, to desire the highest and best good for the sake of the beloved. So what is love? Well, Paul tells us, love is patience. Love is kindness. So patience is being willing to suffer for the one that you love. A patient person bears up well under the suffering. So love is patient. Love is kind. Kindness is making the other person feel important, making the other person feel special, doing an act of thoughtfulness, or charity towards another person. An act of recognizing the dignity of another person. That's what kindness is. And then he tells us what love is not. He says, love is not jealous. It's not pompous or inflated or rude or seeking one's own interests. For example, love is not selfish. It's not quick to temper. It does not brood over injuries, for example, dwelling upon things. See, love is forgiving. Love is willing to forgive and to move on. To forgive and start over anew. To give that clean slate and start over. So Paul tells us love is unselfishness. It is forgiveness. Love does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. That's what love is. Love is God's love for us, revealed to us in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. If you want to see love, look at the cross. If you want to see love, look at the tabernacle. Look at the Eucharist. So that is our calling, our vocation, to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I would conclude by two little quotes. One by St. John of the Cross, as a kid going out to Berryville to the Trappist Monastery in the guest house, on the wall hung a sign from St. John of the Cross, the great Carmelite mystic. And on that quote, on that image on the wall, it said, "In the evening of life, we will be judged on how much we have loved." Isn't that a beautiful expression? In the evening of life, we will be judged on one thing, on how much we have loved. How much we've loved God, how much we've loved our neighbor. And then there was one other quote that I came across. It's on a Brian Tracy CD, and he tells that he met once a very elderly, beautiful German woman, that she had this incredible radiance about her, and she was a totally loving person. And she had gone through the war, through the persecutions under Hitler, and survived that and lost her family in Germany. But she married an American man and came and had a wonderful life in America. But she had that capacity of being a truly loving person. And she told him the story that when her parents died, she went back to the family home in Germany. And all the relatives wanted the antique furniture and all the silver and all the jewelry and all that. She didn't want any of those things. She only wanted one thing, and it was the plaque that hung over the mantelpiece. And that, as a young girl, she read that, and that became the theme of her life. And she said that's the only thing she wanted of her inheritance. And the quote simply said, "Only one life that soon is past. Only what's done with love will last."